Well, that first reading today from the book of Genesis about Abraham and his wife Sarah and their maidservant Hagar, well, it sounds a little bit like a soap opera, doesn't it? There's jealousy, estrangement, even what seems to be the disowning of a child. So the story of Hagar and Ishmael is found in the book of Genesis, mostly in chapters 16 and 21. We heard from 21 today. And it leaves me somewhat troubled and yet reassured at the same time. We didn't hear the first part of the story today, which is found in chapter 16. So let's refresh our memories for a quick moment. Abraham and Sarah were unable to conceive a child. But God had established a covenant with Abraham that, among other things, Abraham would have many descendants. So, unsure of what to do, Sarah suggested to Abraham that he should have a child with Hagar, her maidservant, so that they could have a family through her. Following Sarah's suggestion, Abraham agreed and took Hagar as his second wife. So, does anyone see any potential problem on the horizon at that point? So after becoming pregnant, Hagar began to look down upon Sarah, which caused conflict, as many of you probably predicted just a few seconds ago. Sarah treated Hagar harshly, and in her distress, Hagar fled into the wilderness of the desert. So between that first story and the story we heard today, she was in the desert twice. So at that first time, things obviously hadn't worked out that well up to that point. But it seems that Abraham and Sarah weren't listening for God or trusting in God. God had promised them that they would have many descendants. They agreed to the plan. But then they became impatient, took matters into their own hands, and then predictable results. And of course, Hagar made a bit of a mistake too. She acted poorly towards Sarah, believing that she now had a higher status in the family than Sarah did. But then she had to go to the desert. She was in despair because now she was pregnant and alone. But an angel of the Lord came to her and comforted her. The angel told her to return to Sarah and to submit to her authority. And the angel also promised Hagar that her descendants would be numerous and that she would bear a son whom she should name Ishmael, Ishmael, meaning God hears, because God had heard her trouble. So Hagar obeyed the angel's instructions and returned to Abraham and Sarah, and eventually she gave birth to Ishmael, and Abraham named him accordingly. So now you're up to date. Now we're back to chapter 21. So Sarah had conceived by now and given birth to Isaac, the son of the promise, the son of the covenant. And when Isaac was a young child and playing, Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Hagar, supposedly mocking Isaac. Now the word that we heard in the reading today was playing with, but there's a whole bunch of interpretations that can be made there. Now Sarah was deeply disturbed by that, and she demanded that Abraham cast out both Hagar and Ishmael from the household, saying that Ishmael wouldn't share in Isaac's inheritance. Though it troubled Abraham, because after all Ishmael was his son, God reassured him and instructed him to listen to Sarah. So early the next morning, Abraham gave Hagar some bread and some water, and sent her and Ishmael away into the wilderness. As they wandered in the desert, their water supply ran out. Hagar was again filled with despair, thinking that she and her son would perish. She placed Ishmael under a bush and distanced herself, unable to watch him die. However, God heard the cries of Ishmael, and an angel called to Hagar from heaven, comforting her and promising again to make Ishmael the founder of a great nation. Then God opened Hagar's eyes. She saw a well of water. She gave her son a drink. Ishmael survived. God was with him as he grew up and eventually settled in Egypt with an Egyptian wife. A wonderful story that eventually works out for all involved, but there are little bits that are troubling. Firstly, Hagar is a servant, and she was ordered by Abraham and Sarah, her bosses, to have a baby with him. As a servant, she couldn't say no. Otherwise, she would likely be dismissed, left to fend for herself. This is sort of a forced surrogacy on Hagar's part. It's not entirely unlike the experience of enslaved women in more recent times. Or perhaps when women's bodies are controlled by others. Another reason that this story is troubling is because there seems to be another injustice carried out against Hagar and Ishmael. She was thrown out of the household twice. Hagar was thrown out twice, even though she did what was asked of her. So both of those problems are perhaps sermons for another time. But there was good news in this story, wasn't there? Even though Hagar was a servant woman, among the lowest of the low in the social hierarchy of the time, God listened to her. God saw that she was in distress when she was first forced out of the household. The original Hebrew word in the text was Shema, which is a word for listening actively. Listening actively. God heard Hagar and actively did something, promising that Ishmael would be the head of great multitudes. And even that name, Ishmael, is derived from the word Shema. And Hagar was thankful to God and called God Elroy in Hebrew, Elroy, which means the God who sees. Because God saw what was happening to her and helped her. And then the second time, when Hagar and Ishmael were forced out of the household, God heard the cries of Ishmael, almost dead in the desert from thirst, and saved them again by pointing Hagar to water. So God listened and responded actively to the troubles of a lowly servant woman and of her son. And today we might say that God responded to a single parent and her child, who are in both social and financial hardship. So if God actively responds to those people, to Hagar, her son, and her son, who are often viewed as being among the lowest of the low, even today, God will respond to our pleas for help too. Regardless of our standing in society, or our gender, or our financial situation. But we need to trust that that will happen. We need to be willing to call for help and to let God be God. You know, as Christians, sometimes we feel that we're called to be perfect. And sometimes the rest of the world sees us as being irredeemably hypocritical if we make mistakes. But in this story, we heard that Abraham and Sarah made some mistakes, didn't they? Both in their relationship with God and in their relationship with their servant. And Hagar and Ishmael made some mistakes too. But God was willing to see past those mistakes, those faults, and led them all to great things. God didn't cancel the covenant that he had with Abraham and Sarah. They became the head of a great lineage, what became known as the people of Israel. God didn't allow Ishmael to die. Indeed, he too became a great leader. So we can make mistakes as Christians, even in our relationships with others. But God will still help us We just need to ask and be willing to listen to the answer. In the gospel reading today, we heard Jesus say that he would cause trouble in families. One's foes will be members of one's own household, he said. Following the message of God, what our gospel writer Matthew, what the gospel writer John both call the truth, can cause strife, even within our own family. Not everyone is at the same place of understanding what the situation is, and they might not be willing to listen. But we need to listen to God and respond in ways that disrupt the situation, just as Hagar and Abraham did, redeeming bad situations. Like Jesus said in the gospel, he didn't come to smooth everything over. He came to bring disruption as well, to change things. So now it comes to the hard part for all of us. We're invited to think about what areas we need to seek God's help in. What about alcoholism, or abuse, or oppression, or inequity, or even a partner's deteriorating health situation? God sees and actively responds, and we need to listen for the answer and to perceive God's response. Well, doing the right thing, the truthful, God-inspired thing, lead to conflict around us? It might. But it can also lead to change for the better. Nobody likes to stir the pot. Nobody likes to cause disruption. But if we listen for what God is calling us to do and we act upon it, well, then the Spirit will work with us to help us. So my prayer for us today is that we might all be able to listen to God, to listen for God, and to respond to God. And we also pray that God who sees, the God who sees, might always respond to us, regardless of who we are, regardless of whether we, wherever we are, regardless of the circumstance.